Buck 92.3, where country legends live, and Buck92.com. Welcome to Central Michigan's award-winning sports destination, the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, winner of Best Podcast from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. This is your home for everything local, everything competitive, and everything that matters in Central Michigan sports. From Friday Night Lights to hardwood battles, from high school standouts to the stories behind the teams, you're getting the best sports coverage anywhere. Now, welcome to what many call the best sports show ever for Central Michigan high school athletes. All Things Sports with your host, JW, and Buck 92.3 Sports Director, Austin Shattuck. Let's dive in.
Don't change the tuner on your radio dial, and certainly don't change the browser on Google, because it's time for the Buck 92.3 Sports Show on Buck 92.3 and Buck92.com, where country legends live, with your two hosts, JW in the Morning, and your sports director, Austin Shattuck. And Jeremy, we have an action-packed show today. All four major sports were involved with something last week, with the NFL draft, NHL and NBA playoffs, and of course the MLB regular season. But before we get rolling, Jeremy, I know you went down to the Shepherd Maple Syrup Festival. How was that?
Pancakes were good. Sausage was good. And Friday night, the music with Tia Sillers was good as well. So great weekend this weekend. And then, just ready for sports. Let's get going.
Let's do it. Let's talk about some records from our 10 Isabella County teams. Mount Pleasant Baseball got off to a slow start last week, 0-3 on the week with a couple of games against solid SVL opponents. Mount Pleasant Softball, 6-1 with a weekend tournament smudged in at the end. Sacred Heart Baseball went still undefeated, 4-0 on the week, and now 14-0 on the season with Coach Hartman. And then Coach Wheaton and company for the softball girls in Sacred Heart, 3-1 on the week. Beale Baseball went 4-2. Beale Softball went 5-1 last week. Clare Baseball, 3-1. Clare Softball with Coach Kelly. Congrats to them on going 4-2 and getting Buck 92.3 Team of the Week for softball last week. And then Shepherd Baseball, 4-0. Shepherd Softball, 3-1. So pretty impressive, Jeremy, that these 10 teams had a winning record. I mean, minus Mount Pleasant Baseball, but they'll get there. They're up and coming with Coach Eppel. So it's just great to see that the weather's turning around and we're getting some baseball and softball as we approach the midpoint of the season coming up.
Yeah, we're getting here close to May, and April showers bring May flowers, and it's going to bring great times on the ball field.
Yeah, hopefully there isn't very many dandelions growing in the outfield, because we don't want any of the high school outfielders picking dandelions out there. So I had to put that in. You said April showers bring May flowers.
Yep.
We don't want the dandelions on the field, because that'll just attract more dandelion picking instead of ball flying catching.
Yeah. So yeah, you definitely don't want to miss a fly ball as you're picking a dandelion.
No, I've done that before in my high school career. It's doinked off my mitt a couple of times, so not something I'm proud to say. But something I'm also not proud to say is the Detroit Pistons right now, man. Jeremy, they are not looking like a one seed, that's for sure.
No, they're struggling.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I mean, game one, it was a rough performance. I saw last week when the Pistons, first got that one seed. Anytime a Detroit team gets a one seed in whatever sport it may be, especially the last couple years, they flounder. The Lions, of course, floundering against the Washington Commanders as the one seed at home at Ford Field. And then now we still got a long series to be played, especially with game four being tonight, a must win for the Pistons. We need the Pistons to win, but down 2-1, what adjustments would you like to see, Jeremy, if the Pistons want to come away with a series win over the Magic?
Play some defense. I mean, you can't give up 113 points and expect to win a game.
No. You certainly can't.
And I know they've given up a lot of points this year, but they've scored a lot of points to counter that. Like the last regular season game against the Pacers, 133 to 121. Back when I like the Pistons. I like anything Michigan, and anyone who beats that team in Ohio. but I'm not a big NBA fan, just because of the transition from I'll say the bad boy era to the new NBA, where fouls, it seems like they don't play defense no more.
Yeah, they don't.
No, and you're seeing all these games, 130 points, 140 points, 100, you know, and that's just in regulation. That's not overtime.
Yeah.
You know, so I like to back in the day when all teams played defense.
Yeah, well, to counteract that point, in game two, there certainly was a lot of defense from the Pistons. They got back to their identity, only allowing 83 points to the Orlando Magic at home, getting their first playoff win in Detroit since 2008, and getting J.B. Bickerstaff's first playoff win ever in his tenure as a coach. So kudos to J.B. Bickerstaff. Kudos to the Pistons getting a playoff home win in the Motor City and establishing that bully defensive mentality for game two. But game three, we mentioned off air, we don't like how, both you and I don't like how they give all these spaces in between playing.
Yes.
Give your point on that.
2 days off in between games. No, the Pistons, and all these teams are used to playing some back to back, some three games in a row. You know, they're used to playing 4 or 5 games in a week. Now you're playing 2, maybe 3 games in a week.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Sit around the pool in Orlando and just, you know, drink some, you know, some umbrella drink and just hang out by the pool for 2 days? No, get them in the gym and play them some basketball and let's get this playoffs over.
Yeah, and get the fans what they want. They want to watch playoff intensity, high intensity basketball.
Yeah.
And in game two, it was high intensity. They scored 98 points. They held the other team, the Magic, to 83. And then in game three, it fell apart as they made the jet lag trip down to Florida or Orlando, the middle of the panhandled state, and lost by 8 points. But it was a comeback for the Pistons in game three. I know I was producing the Loons game on 100.9 The Mitt on Saturday, and I couldn't watch the game because it was on Peacock, which we may or may not get to a little bit later. But either way, they came back. I saw the score. And I believe Cade Cunningham was like the head of the snake in that comeback.
Yeah.
But then that Franz Wagner Michigan man kind of tormented the Pistons as the last like 2 minutes of that game. And I believe the Magic held the Pistons scoreless for the last 2 minutes of the game. It was rough.
Yeah. And it's they have to get back to playing Piston basketball.
Yeah.
And throwing their, I don't want to say the weight around, but they got to get back into being aggressive and just, you know, being the Pistons.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of being aggressive, Jalen Duren, JD, who they refer to around the Motor City, he's gone missing. Not literally, pun on words. 8 points, 11 points a game in the playoffs is not going to help you. Cade Cunningham needs his Robin, and that man is Jalen, and that Robin is Jalen Duren. Asar Thompson is good and all, but he's good for defense. Defense is not going to win you a championship. That phrase, defense wins championships, it helps. But, hey, we understand that the Pistons' brand of basketball is defense, but also offense scores you points. And when Cade scores nearly 30 points a game through all three games so far, he needs
points.
Robin.
Yeah, 31 points he's averaging. Duren's only averaging 9 a game. Tobias Harris is averaging 18.
Yeah.
So, come on, guys. You got to get the ball in the hoop. That's the name of the game. You know,
I know.
It's not, you know, and Duncan Robinson, who, you know, he's averaging almost 10 a game.
Yeah.
So get the ball in the hoop. You know, it's not that, I want to say it's not that hard, but, you know.
It's easier said than done.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, come on, you know, get back to playing some, you know, Piston basketball and get the W.
Yeah. Cade finished with 27 points. Tobias had 23 in their last time out in Orlando on Saturday afternoon. And tonight, in a matter of, I would say, half an hour or so, 8 o'clock, they'll tip things off on NBC and Peacock. So NBC, you will be able to watch that game, especially in our local market here in the great state of Michigan. So you shouldn't be ashamed of turning on the Pistons after we wrap up our show here on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show. But don't be embarrassed or don't be shocked if Jalen Duren doesn't have the best game again. I mean, just from what we've seen, eventually he's got to break out of the spell, but I don't know if he'll do it on the road. He might come back to the Motor City and have an outstanding game. But either way, Cade, you know what Cade's going to bring. He's going to bring probably 25-plus points tonight, maybe a triple-double to get his boys involved. You know what Tobias Harris is going to bring in the playoffs, as long as he stays healthy. He's just an experienced playoff veteran playing for the Pistons a couple years ago. And you know, you should know what Jalen Duren's going to bring.
Yeah.
You want him to bring some scoring. You want him to bring some intensity in the low block. And you want to try and get Orlando into some foul trouble. I mean, you think of Orlando, their bigs are not the best. They're multidimensional.
Yeah.
The one big I'm thinking about for Orlando is Paolo Banchero, the guy from Duke who should have been a Piston. I mean, the draft lottery a couple years ago when the Pistons were bottom of the barrel NBA team, they should have had Cade. They should have had either Wemby or Banchero, but they only got Cade. And they got Jaden Ivey, who is not even on a roster anymore for the NBA. So that was a miserable pick. But either way, the Pistons, Cade Cunningham, needs his Robin tonight in the matter of a couple, half an hour or so.
Yeah.
And he needs the Pistons to, the Pistons faithful needs the team to come home with the series tied at 2.
Yeah. And then they can wrap it up at home.
Yeah. Because it's a best of 4, or you have to get 4 wins, right?
Yep.
So it would be tied at 2 apiece. The series would be a lot more manageable as we jump into the middle, the early part of May.
I'm pretty sure it's only, I think
it has to be 4. Because
I think they're all 7 games.
Yeah.
For the, because the next one I see is Wednesday, the 29th. Other than that, I can't see after that because, well, it's going to go into May.
Yeah.
So Sunday, Friday, the 1st, and Sunday, the 3rd. Of course, 2 days in between each game.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I mean,
maybe Kamish Silver heard you on that.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's get these games played, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a great, you know, time watching the Pistons. It's been fun watching them.
Yeah, they finally are kind of revolutionizing gritty basketball.
Yeah.
Taking that grit mindset that Dan Campbell for the Lions instilled in the Motor City, and now Coach Bickerstaff is really heavily involved. I believe they're like 36-18 in their last 50 games, including the postseason. So I think obviously the team that the Pistons are doing very well is because of their leadership and Coach Bickerstaff, who is, by the way, up for a Coach of the Year, one of 3 finalists for Coach of the Year, which will be announced very soon. So speaking of coaches, Sacred Heart, 43rd year head coach.
Well, real quick, you know, when we talked to him, we thought 42.
Yeah.
But it was the COVID. He only got 5 practices in during the COVID year. We'll be talking about that. But 43 years, like you said, go ahead and
yeah,
let
I mean,
know.
43 years. That's more than both of us. Obviously, both of us have been living. It's just insane to think that Coach Hartman, the longevity that he's been able to coach his players. He's coached many great players, and we'll talk about that in the second half of our show. But Coach Hartman, he's coming up next on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.
Stay right there. More local sports talk is coming up as the Buck 92.3 Sports Show continues right here on Buck 92.3 and Buck92.com.
Looking for more than just a welding job? Build your future with Bandit Industries. Join an employee-owned company where your hard work pays off, literally. At Bandit, you're not just an employee, you're an owner. We're hiring welders to help build industry-leading equipment in a fast-paced, team-driven environment. Stop by our hiring events Tuesday, April 21st or April 28th from 2 to 5 p.m. at Bandit Industries in Remus. Walk in, meet the team, and you could get hired on the spot. Bandit Industries. Build more than equipment, build your future.
Clark Modular Homes of Mount Pleasant would like to invite you to their spring open house, May 1st through the 3rd. Experience why satisfied customers say Clark Modular Homes offers so much more than the competition. As one of Michigan's largest home dealers and display centers, they feature names such as Commodore, Rochester, Dutch, and Clayton. Clark Modular Homes is a licensed builder that offers everything from designing your own custom floor plan to acquiring building permits, installing septic systems, water wells, foundations, basements, garages, and decks. Clark Modular Homes will have lenders on hand to help you with financing at low rates, and their sales staff, along with the factory reps, will be there to guide you through the entire home building process. With over 40 years in Central Michigan, knowing they will be able to serve the homes they sell long after the construction is complete, visit Clark Modular Homes during their spring open house May 1st through the 3rd, 4 miles east of Mount Pleasant on M20. Find out more at modularhomesbyclark.com or like Clark Modular Homes on Facebook.
Welcome back to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, streaming on Buck 92.3 and Buck92.com. Hosted by sports director Austin Shattuck and JW. Let's dive back into Central Michigan sports.
Welcome back into the Buck 92.3 Sports Show on Buck 92.3 and Buck92.com, where country legends live. Austin Shattuck, your sports director here. Alongside me, as always, sitting right across from me is JW in the Morning, Jeremy Wood. And this week's special guest is none other than 43rd year head coach for Sacred Heart Baseball, Coach Earl Hartman. Coach Hartman, how are you doing today, man?
Feeling old.
Well, that comes with age, obviously, but, you know, something that doesn't age is your tenure with Sacred Heart Baseball. I mean, point blank, how much fun has it been to just coach Sacred Heart Baseball and have so many winning seasons in your tenure as the head coach for Sacred Heart?
Well, baseball has always meant a lot to me since I was 6 years old, standing in the living room and heard Al Kaline hit two home runs in one inning. My dad has an old yellow radio that we still have up at the cottage up at Higgins Lake that he used to sit every night and listen to the ball games, and I'd be just there listening kind of on to. And so baseball's been a big part of my life. Coaching at Sacred Heart, it's a special place for me and my family, so I have enjoyed it thoroughly. And a lot of kids, all five of my sons came through and played, and now I'm getting to the point where I've got kids of my players playing, a lot of them.
What was it like coaching your five sons?
It was fun. I mean, that way we got to be there and see them play every time because I was at every game, so... But yeah, it was good. They had some good success, the group of them. Played in a couple of state championship games and made some honor teams. So it was good.
Yeah, and speaking of coaching the kids throughout your 43 years at Sacred Heart, I mean, you've coached a lot of talented players throughout your tenure with Sacred Heart, and most recently being Grady Perratt. What was it like kind of coaching him throughout his 4 years and now seeing him succeed at the college level with the Alma Scots?
Grady, of course, was an outstanding player. 30 years before that, his dad was the outstanding player in 1996. So they were very similar, both batted left-handed, both played infield for us, both were very fast, both hit very well, both made the dream team, honor team in the state of Michigan, and both had good college career. Well, Scott had a great college career. He was twice the most valuable player at CMU, and Grady is starting off where Scott used to be. So it is fun.
Yeah, and I imagine both of those players, when you've been coaching them, have broken a lot of records at Sacred Heart. Can you kind of fill us in on what kind of records those were that they both maybe individually broke at their tenure?
Well, in Scott's case, if you pick a category, he set the record pretty much. In Grady's case, he broke his dad's records in at least three or four occasions. I can't tell you right off, but hits and runs and stolen bases, Grady might have topped his dad in those categories.
So it sounds like it pretty much runs in the family then, huh?
It pretty much runs in the family. In fact, I've got a story, an old joke type of story, that when Scott broke the school's stolen base record back in 1996, I asked people, whose record did he break? And they fumble for who are the base runners and all that. Well, actually, it was his sister, Trisha Pratt, that with the girls' softball team, that had the most stolen bases of anybody ever in the school. So Scott outran her.
That's so unique to have like that family connection there at Sacred Heart. And of course, the Peratts are just a legendary family, known very well in the Sacred Heart community. And obviously, moving on from Sacred Heart to Elma, and obviously Scott moved on from Sacred Heart to CMU way back when. But those are the kind of past players, some future players right now that are kind of making their name known is Noah Zion and Brady Davis for this year's team. What has their development been like throughout their years at Sacred Heart?
Well, Brady's been top level since the beginning. He had comes into this year with a 24-3 record as a pitcher. The three losses were all to the state champion, Beale City in his freshman year, Beale City in his sophomore year, and last year he got hung with a 5-4, 12-inning loss to Portland St. Pat, who won the state championship. So Brady, since he was a freshman, has thrown really well, and he's 5-0 so far this year, just a second place in the all-time wins list, and if we can get him four more, he'll be the all-time winning pitcher. So Noah, of course, basketball, you know, you guys saw him, and I've talked to Noah about, you know, there's kids out there watching you play who just want to be like you in the future. You got to not pout about losing your basketball eligibility and realize that there's kids watching you play baseball too. So let's go get it. And Noah, so far, if I glance over the stat sheet, I mean, he's hitting .559 and 12 on base percentage, and he scored 32 runs in 14 games.
Yeah, is Noah usually in the leadoff spot for you guys, or is that kind of, is the lineup kind of fluctuate on each different game?
No, our top six have been the same since '08, and we've been trying to fill in who's the bottom three. And young sophomore Jack Morris has stepped up, and he's taken over the seventh spot and hitting really well. But the top six have been the same. Noah, Brody Collin, who averages about five pitches in it, which is perfect for a number two hitter, has been in the two spot, and Tegan Duffy in the three spot is hitting .432, and Brady Davis is hitting .667 right now. Just unbelievable. Brady's hitting the ball so hard. And then Nate Seiler and Hank McDonald are the five and the six hitters in our lineup. But I don't know for sure whether we've really seen top-notch pitching. I mean, we've seen some of the best they have to offer. Fulton's two kids, and even Breckenridge had it. Tomorrow we play Clare and Essexville Garber, which would be a challenge for us. But then Montebello on Monday we've got to play, and I think they're 10-1 right now. So we hope to see some better pitching. And Maple City Glen Lakes pitcher and Rudyard's pitcher, we hit hard. But other than that, we've played all Division IV schools. And tomorrow we've got a Division III and a Division II, and then we play tournaments the next four weekends also, and they'll get tougher. We'll play some good teams in those tournaments.
Yeah, and I imagine hitting is probably the answer to this next question, but obviously this season you and your squad are off to a tremendous start. Why is that?
The kids have worked hard. I mean, I hate to downplay it, but our team average, let me look, is .410. I mean, we're not going to hit in the season hitting .410. And Brady Davis is not going to season hitting .667. We've been just on a high ebb and pounding the ball. And as I say, Essexville Garber, we've got Freeland on our schedule, and they're 8-10-1 right now in Division II. Big Rapids tournament. We played Lansing Catholic Central last year. Our tournament on May 16th that we host is a round robin between us and Traverse City St. Francis and Portland St. Pat, which both St. Pat's and St. Francis are defending state champions in their respective divisions. So we'll have a good matchup that weekend. And then right after that weekend, we scheduled the doubleheader on Wednesday with Traverse City St. Francis. So we're going to play them three games in a row, the defending Division III state champion and currently ranked number one in Division III.
Wow. So it sounds like there's going to be a lot of tournaments, weekend tournaments coming up your way. Am I correct with that?
Yes. Every weekend starting tomorrow. We've got a tournament at Fowler, at Big Rapids, at Clare, and our own home tournament. And then the districts come in. So,
yeah, and leading up to a lot of your games, of course, the Sheboygan game to start the season, there's obviously been a lot of speculation with practices and off-season workouts. Can you kind of fill us in on what those off-season workouts kind of look like and what kind of goes into your practices when you're throughout the week when you're not playing a baseball game?
Tuesday the 21st. Just a few days ago was the first time we were on our field for a practice. Other than that, it had been too wet. We'd had four home dates, and we had to move them all. We were scheduled to be at CMU against Maple City and Rudyard, but we moved the Sheboygan game to CMU. Our field was too wet, so hosted a game at Fulton against Fulton. And then when we played Charles last Friday, a week ago, we went up to Coleman to play because both St. Charles and our fields were wet and Coleman was playable. So Wednesday night was a game, even though we'd had five dates scheduled. That's the first game we played. We've had some fly balls to the outfield hit in the cage, but the day before the Coleman game was the first day that we actually stepped on our infield.
Coach Hartman, I just got a quick question for you. This is Jeremy. Have you had any players make it to the big leagues?
No. Mike Seastat back in 95 was 5 years in the Orioles organization, and he did make it to AAA. But no, had a few drafted, but none have made the big leagues.
That's pretty impressive, though, to make it AAA from coming from a small school. But it just goes to show that your coaching over these years, I mean, the longevity of it is just impressive.
We've had a lot of successful college careers.
Yeah, and the development from you and your players has just been outstanding to probably watch and follow throughout your 43 years. But kind of transitioning back to this season, what improvements have you seen from either the offseason workouts or game one against Sheboygan to where we stand right now?
Well, when you talk about offseason workouts at Sacred Heart, there are so many basketball players. I mean, you know, with a limited enrollment of 120 kids, it's hard to get any true workouts going. And of course, the MHSAA controls you can only work with four in time. But we did have some kids be faithful and would get together and throw. Our biggest advantage was that we got to go to Florida for spring break and work out at a facility in Davenport, Florida with the turf fields. And we got 4 days of really good workouts. Plus, we scrimmaged Shepherd down there, whose team was just north of us, about 15 miles north of Davenport. We went up there one day and we went over to St. Petersburg and scrimmaged Rockford one day. So that's a good springboard when you can get kids outside and really be able to work on some things. We've done some good things over the years in our gym. And even before we built the quote-unquote new gym 25 years ago, we put teams together in a 80 by 60 band box and took them out and made them good teams ready to play. But it's nice when you get a chance to get outside. We don't do that much here in Michigan. And of course, our field is down in kind of a pit. It's all clay. And we've had an inordinate amount of water and some water flowing that we didn't want this year, that we still are a little soft out there.
Yeah, and then after your spring break trip down to Florida, you started off your season on a tear. The first three games of the season, your offense exploded for 52 runs, two of which was against Sheboygan at CMU at Tennyson Stadium. How exciting was it for you to see your boys just keep circling the bases and score all those runs?
It was good because we only had four starters back. Of course, the two prime pitchers, you know, we can stay in a game with anybody with our two prime pitchers on the mound, but we were just wondering, okay, who's going to step up? Who are the guys that were reserves last year? We have six seniors, two juniors, two sophomores, and 10 freshmen amongst our 20 players that are playing baseball. So like last night, we have to schedule JV games, more better called reserve games, on dates that we're not playing because we just don't have enough players to split into two squads and play on the same day. But who is going to step in? And some of the guys have really stepped up. Hank McDonald, through the 14 games we've played, he has 31 RBIs out of the sixth spot. Brady Davis has 28 RBIs. And a lot of that is, you know, we don't have a lot of reserves and the competition, the pitching isn't top line, and we're not missing them. When they come up, we're not missing them. I finished the game at Coleman the other night, the last two innings, I just had all nine JVs on the field to get some experience before they went and played their first games last night. So things have come through. Kids did some work during the winter, worked hard while they went down to Florida, and some of the young kids are coming up and making contributions right away.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.
Stay right there. More local sports talk is coming up as the Buck 92.3 Sports Show continues right here on Buck 92.3 and Buck92.com.
I'm here at Rick's Food Center for an I-Team investigation. Why do so many people love shopping here? Excuse me, miss. Tell me, why choose Rick's?
Well, they've got everything I need. Oh, and everyone here is so helpful.
Helpful, you say?
Yeah, they gave me recommendations and pointed me in the right direction. Now my cart's full and I feel like I just made a friend.
Fascinating. You, sir, what brings you to Rick's?
I've been shopping here for pretty much my whole life. It's like I'm a part of the family.
Yes, but what about your family?
They love shopping here too. Talk about convenience.
I'm here now with a Rick's staff member. So, what's the secret?
No secrets here. Just our signature friendly service with a smile. Now, how can I help you?
Oh, I have been looking for... I mean, that's the story from Rick's Food Center. Friendly service, experienced and knowledgeable staff, and it's where your friends shop, too, in Rockford, Ithaca, and Mount Pleasant.
Welcome to Rick's.
You're back with the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, Central Michigan's award-winning sports coverage, with sports director Austin Shattuck and JW. Let's get back to it.
Welcome back into the Buck 92.3 Sports Show. Here's more with Coach Hartman.
Coach Hartman, it's Jeremy again. You were talking about your JV squad. That's got to be a big helpful to you as a varsity coach to have a JV squad as well, because you look at a lot of the teams around in our area, and they don't have JV squads. Does that help, you know, being able to have a JV squad and to be able to get the kids some experience in a varsity game and then let them, you know, be able to play games on the JV team and then be able to move up to varsity here in another year or two?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it used to be back when I started, we virtually always had a JV team. I mean, probably through the first half of my career, the first two decades, there was only a couple times that we did not have JV. So there was a whole development phase going on. Recently, the last two decades, it's been harder. And oftentimes, we put together a reserve team, which is kind of like this we're doing now, where they can go play on dates that we're not playing. And like last night, we had to send two of the kids who have contributed quite a bit to our varsity up to play with them so that they had enough guys to fill in the rosters and be competitive up there. There's no doubt that watching them last night, you know, we've seen them in the gym, and you can only do so much in the gym, and see them in limited time, just trying to throw them a bone once in a while to get in at bat or even come in and courtesy run for us to feel like you're part of the team. But having them have their own game was fun last night to watch them.
Yeah, Coach Hartman, you kind of hit the nail on the coffin there, right there, just because of the development. It's so key to develop those players, especially at the high school level, if they want to get shipped off to college, if I'm using the right terminology there. Earlier in the show, you also mentioned some matchups that you have kind of are looking forward to coming up here in the future with Freeland and, of course, your weekend tournaments with Portland St. Patrick as well. But, you know, the Mid-State Activities Conference is very tricky to get through. What matchups do you kind of have circled on your calendar as we approach the midway point of the season coming up here soon?
Well, what we thought was the number one and might be favorites along with us was Fulton, and we already played them. We played them right off the bat second week, actually, this season, and beat them 9-0 and 9-2, I think I recall the scores were. Montebello, we play next Monday. As I said, they're, I think, 10-1. And we play Vesterberg next Friday, and they split with Montebello. So that's Montebello's one loss. Other than that, we still have Merrill and Carson City on a conference schedule. We've played, I think, 8 conference games so far. So we've won the first 8, and we have 8 more. And the last 4, honestly, Carson City and Merrill are not having really good seasons. So we get by Montebello next Monday and we should be champions.
Yeah, and it's always good to kind of start out dominant in the conference so you can maybe afford to lose a couple of games in the back half of the season. Moving on to the future of this program, what kind of future do you see envisioning for Sacred Heart Baseball coming up?
Well, again, next year we're going to have to be growing because we're graduating 6 seniors. And as I said, through the lineup, 1 Zion, 2 Colin, 3 Duffy, 4 Davis, the top 4 hitters in the order and on the team are all seniors. They're all going to be gone. And then there's some other seniors that are filling in that Nico Vasquez and Caleb Strout will also be gone. So Brady Davis will also be gone from the pitching standpoint. But Nate Seiler and Hank McDonald will be back, and they're just playing very, very well. We can't go much further without mentioning Nate Seiler. Nate was All-State last year as a pitcher. Right now, he's pitched 18 2/3 innings. He started 6 games, so that's only an average of 3 innings a game because we get out front. He's 6-0, but in those 6 games, he's allowed 5 hits and 1 walk. He struck out 45 in 18 innings and walked 1.
That's crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, he has terrific control. Brady is dealing with a little elbow soreness, whether that's the reason or not, but if I can find Brady's name here, he's walked 12 people in 14 innings, it looks like. So Brady's been struggling a little, but he still struck out 32 and only given up 3 hits in 14 innings. So, I mean, there are 1-2 punch, no doubt about it. And as long as they're on the mound, we should be able to compete even with the bigger schools.
You know, 43 years coaching, how much longer do you think you're going to be able to continue coaching?
It's always been a 1-year contract, I tell people when they ask. And I've always said that my catcher from my 1987 number one ranked state finalist is going to announce my retirement on page 3 of the local paper. My 1987 catcher was Charlie Lux, Lux Funeral Homes.
Yeah, yeah, I know Charlie.
So I was, he's going to announce my retirement on in the paper, I've always said. But, you know, 78 years old, getting through prostate cancer and rheumatoid arthritis, and Jeremy McDonald and Steve Sanders have been a godsend, because I could throw batting practice from 20 feet. I haven't done that yet this year, but I did last year on a few occasions. But I can't hit fly balls to the outfield anymore. And macular degeneration, when I do have a ball coming at me, I see two balls wobbling like a wounded duck. So I, when the guys have pulled the ball, Hank McDonald comes up, I'm deep at third base in the coaching box. And I always make sure to have my helmet on so that if I got to, I can move. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's the best answer I can give you to your questions.
Hey, as long as you're still enjoying doing it, do it as long as you can, right?
I do. And, you know, it's going to be like cutting an arm off.
Yeah, Coach Hartman, it sounds like you've got your eyes set on a great campaign coming up to finish this last campaign for 2026 at least, and we don't know what the future holds for you, but it certainly is bright for the Sacred Heart Academy baseball team, and undefeated as we speak right now, got a couple of key matchups coming up with Montebella earlier today, and you know, obviously in the Mid-State Activities Conference coming up too with your weekend tournaments. But Coach Hartman, we want to thank you for coming on our show today and giving us insight on not only your team, but your past career, teaching these boys, developing these boys, with it being from Grady to Scott to Noah to Brady Davis, whoever that may be. It sounds like you have a bright future coming up with Sacred Heart Baseball. So thank you for coming on today, Coach.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Thanks a lot, Coach Hartman.
You've been listening to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, your award-winning home for Central Michigan sports coverage. Thanks for joining JW and Sports Director Austin Shattuck as we break down the games, the players, and the stories that make local sports special.
Missed part of the show? No problem. You can listen to this show and past shows at MyMichiganPodcast.com. Just click on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.
Join us every Monday evening at 7 right here on Buck 92.3, where country legends live. And streaming worldwide at buck92.com for the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.